This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. Today, we have two articles about the DNA testing company 23andMe and information about wedding scams. First up, from Forbes, did you give your DNA to 23andMe? Here's Why You Might Regret It Soon by Lars Daniel, October 15, 2024. Amid financial challenges, DNA testing company 23andMe is reportedly exploring a potential sale which could place the genetic data of over 15 million customers in the hands of new ownership. The implications of this sale are significant, raising concerns over data privacy and potential misuse of sensitive genetic information. What's at stake? 23andMe's genetic database, built over nearly two decades, includes a wealth of information about customers' health predispositions and ancestral backgrounds. While the company's privacy policies claim to prioritize customer consent, a sale could result in a new owner with different priorities. This change may impact how customers' DNA data is utilized, potentially opening the door to various uses not initially agreed to by users, including by insurance companies, pharmaceutical firms, or law enforcement agencies, privacy concerns, and legal issues. In an interview with NPR, law professor Anya Bryce from the University of Iowa's College of Law said that those worried about their sensitive DNA information may not realize just how few federal protections exist. Prince, who focuses on genetic privacy, said in the interview that HIPAA does not protect data that's held by direct-to-consumer companies like 23andMe. The Health and Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, known as HIPAA, doesn't apply to the 23andMe because HIPAA does not protect data held by direct-to-consumer companies. Although U.S. law, specifically the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, restricts the use of genetic data by health insurers and employers, it does not extend to life or disability insurers. This leaves a critical gap, potentially enabling future owners of the data to leverage it in ways customers didn't anticipate. The broader implications. This potential sale shines a spotlight on the ethical considerations surrounding consumer genetic data. Genetic information is unique and irreversible, making its protection vital. As companies like 23andMe navigate financial pressures, customers must consider the long-term implications of sharing their DNA. Once data is shared, it becomes nearly impossible to control how it will be used in the future. The possible sale of 23andMe underscores the challenges of balancing commercial interests with the privacy rights of customers. As the future of genetic data sharing unfolds, consumers may need to rethink the costs and benefits of submitting their DNA to companies whose ownership and data policies could change unexpectedly. The evolving landscape of genetic data privacy serves as a reminder to carefully consider the risks involved in sharing one's most personal information. And a related article from MIT Technology Review, How to Delete Your 23andMe Data by Rhiannon Williams, October 14, 2024. Things aren't looking good for 23andMe. The consumer DNA testing company recently parted ways with all its board members but CEO Ann Wojcicki over her plans to take the company private. It's also still dealing with the fallout of a major security breach last October, which saw hackers access the personal data of around 5.5 million customers. 23andMe's business is built on taking saliva samples from its customers. The DNA from those samples is processed and analyzed in its labs to produce personalized genetic reports detailing a user's unique health and ancestry. The uncertainty swirling around the company's future and potential new ownership has prompted privacy campaigners to urge users to delete their data. It's not just you. If anyone in your family gave their DNA to 23andMe, for all of your sakes, close your or their account now, Meredith Whitaker, president of the encrypted messaging platform Signal, posted on X after the board's resignation. Customers should consider current threats to their privacy as well as threats that may exist in the future, some of which may be magnified if 23andMe were sold to a new owner, says Jason Kelly, activism director at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. 23andMe has protections around much of this, but a potential sale could put your data in the hands of a far less scrupulous company. A spokesperson for 23andMe said that the company has strong customer privacy protections in place and does not share customer data with third parties without customers' consent. Our research program is opt-in, requiring customers to go through a separate, informed consent process before joining, they say. We are committed to protecting customer data and are consistently focused on maintaining the privacy of our customers. That will not change. Why deleting your account comes with a caveat. Deleting your data from 23andMe is permanent and cannot be reversed, but some of that data will be retained to comply with the company's legal obligations according to its privacy statement. That means 23andMe and its third-party genotyping laboratory will hang on to some of your genetic information, plus your date of birth and sex, alongside data linked to your account deletion request, including your email address and deletion request identifier. When MIT Technology Review asked 23andMe about the nature of the genetic information it retains, it declined to answer. Any information you've previously provided and consented to being used in 23andMe research projects also cannot be removed from ongoing or completed studies, although it will not be used in any future ones. Beyond the laboratories that process the saliva samples, the company does not share customer information with anyone else unless the user has given permission for it to do so, the spokesperson says, including employers, insurance companies, law enforcement agencies, or any public databases. We treat law enforcement inquiries, such as a valid subpoena or court order, with the utmost seriousness. We use all legal measures to resist any and all requests in order to protect our customers' privacy, the spokesperson says. To date, we have successfully challenged these requests and have not released any information to law enforcement. For those who still want their data deleted, here's how you go about it. How to delete your data from 23andMe. Number 1. Log into your account and navigate to Settings. Number 2. Under Settings, scroll to the section titled 23andMe Data. Select View. Number 3. You may be asked to enter your date of birth for extra security. Number 4. In the next section, you'll be asked which, if any, personal data you'd like to download from the company onto a personal, not public, computer. Once you're finished, scroll to the bottom and select Permanently Delete Data. Number 5. You should then receive an email from 23andMe detailing its account deletion policy and requesting that you confirm your request. Once you confirm you'd like your data to be deleted, the deletion will begin automatically and you'll immediately lose access to your account. What about your genetic sample? When you set up your 23andMe account, you're given the option either to have your saliva sample securely destroyed or to have it stored for future testing. If you've previously opted to store your sample but now want to delete your 23andMe account, the company says it will destroy the sample for you as part of the account deletion process. What if you want to keep your genetic data, just not 23andMe? Even if you want your data taken off of 23andMe, there are reasons why you might still want to have it hosted on other DNA sites, for genealogical research, for example. And some people like the idea of having their DNA results stored on more than one database in case something happens to any one company. This is where downloading your data comes into play. FamilyTree DNA, MyHeritage, GED Match, and LivingDNA are among the DNA testing companies that allow you to upload existing DNA results from other companies, although Ancestry and 23andMe don't accept uploads. How to download your raw genetic data. Number 1. Navigate directly to u.23andme.com/tools/data/. Number 2. Click on your profile name on the top right-hand corner, then select Resources from the menu. Number three, select Browse Raw Genotyping Data and then Download. Number four, visit Account Settings and click on View under 23andMe Data. Number five, enter your date of birth for security purposes. And number six, tick the box indicating that you understand the limitations and risks associated with uploading your information to third-party sites and press Submit Request. 23andMe warns its users that uploading their data to other services could put genetic data privacy at risk. For example, bad actors could use someone else's DNA data to create fake genetic profiles. They could use these profiles to match with a relative and access personal identifying information and specific DNA variants, such as information about any disease risk variants you might carry, the spokesperson says, adding, "This is one reason why we don't support uploading DNA to 23andMe at this time." If you're just joining us, you're listening to Listener Beware with Francis at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thus far, we've heard warnings and helpful tips regarding 23andMe, and now I'll continue with a reading about wedding scams. From ConsumerNotice.org, May 30th, 2023, Wedding Planning Scams. Common wedding scams involve everything from counterfeit gowns to missing flowers to photographers who hold your photos hostage after your nuptials. Fortunately, there are a number of precautions you can take on your way to happily ever after. In 2018, the average wedding in the United States came with a price tag of more than $44,000, according to Brides Magazine. But it can cost considerably more if you fall prey to fraud and scams. Planning your wedding is exciting, but it can also leave you vulnerable to con artists and identity theft. One of the most devastating schemes involves the fake wedding planner who takes tens of thousands of dollars up front but disappears right before your big day. Learning about recent scams and being able to detect red flags in advance can keep your wedding planning on track and safe from con artists. Counterfeit gowns. Buying a wedding dress is supposed to be every bride's dream, but it can turn into a nightmare if you're not careful. One of the most common scams involves online websites that sell cheap knockoffs of gorgeous designer gowns. We're not talking about the websites that sell quality replicas of haute couture designs at affordable prices. We're talking about sites that try to pass off counterfeit gowns as the real thing. The websites, which are often based in China, use original designers' photos and trademarks to mislead brides who think they've found their dream gown at an incredibly steep discount. But when the dress arrives in the mail, they're dumbfounded. Sarah Weber told ABC's Good Morning America that she paid $200 for what she thought would be a beautiful lace gown. But when it arrived 2 weeks before her wedding, the dress didn't resemble the one in the picture. Even worse, the bottom was dirty and had string hanging off of it, and the buttons were falling off. Weber's experience isn't unusual. Shady websites based in China ship about 600,000 knockoff dresses to the United States every year, according to the American Bridal and Prom Industry Association, and some paying customers don't receive a dress at all. How to spot a fake? As with any big purchase, you should vet the seller. Check out the site on sitejabber.com and read all available reviews of the business. If other customers have had issues, that's a major red flag and you should go somewhere else. Other red flags may include a wedding dress that is $200 or less. If the deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. A wedding dress website based in China with no U.S.-based address or telephone number in the Contact Us section of the website. A sales agreement with no terms or conditions. This can make it exceptionally hard to get a refund, particularly if the seller is based overseas. The American Bridal and Prom Industry Association says retail prices for designer gowns should be consistent among all retailers. So if you see an online price well below the average, it's most likely a fake. The group suggests visiting the brand name Where to Buy or Store Locator webpage. If the website you're perusing isn't on there, it could be a counterfeit operation. If you've already ordered the dress, take a look at the garment's tags. Authentic gowns will have a hang tag, an inside garment label with the brand's logo. If the tags or labels are missing or misspelled, you may have a knockoff on your hands. To avoid scams in the first place, only shop at reputable stores and never wire money to sellers you haven't met. If you do decide to make a purchase online, use a credit card or a reputable pay app like PayPal. That way, you'll have some recourse if things go wrong. PayPal specifically offers purchase protection if an item is described as authentic but turns out to be a knockoff. Wedding planner fraud. Be careful of whom you hire to plan your wedding. Weddings cost a lot of money, and unscrupulous planners can make off with a small fortune and ruin your big day. That's exactly what happened to Sean and Lauren Bernetter. The Chicago couple paid Tamika Jones more than $30,000 for a catered loft wedding in 2018, according to CBS2, but 9 days before their nuptials, they received a letter from Jones saying she was filing for bankruptcy. Just days before they received that letter, Jones had tried to get them to pay her another $18,000, according to the couple. They were almost forced to cancel their wedding, but family members pitched in and found another venue so they could still have their ceremony. Sadly, the scenario is more common than one might think. In 2016, authorities in Monroe County, Florida, arrested a wedding planner who had scammed two couples out of money that was supposed to have gone toward their weddings at an Islamidurata resort. And in 2017, an Orlando couple told the local news that a wedding planner they had met at an expo took $17,000 from them, but never paid for a venue or promised services. The con artist disappeared 3 days before the couple walked down the aisle. Protecting yourself. There's no foolproof way to avoid a con artist, but doing a good bit of vetting in advance can help. You should start by looking at a planner's website and online reviews. The website should look professional and not just consist of a Facebook page. The majority of the reviews should be excellent. If you like what you see, set up a meet and greet and treat it as an interview. Ask them how many weddings they've planned and whether they've planned any similar to what you want. Find out how their payment systems work and ask to see a contract. Ask the planner for references and be sure to check them out. A reputable planner will be transparent and happy to provide them. Talk to couples who've actually used the wedding planner's services and see what they have to say. Also, ask to speak with other wedding vendors with whom they've worked. It's important to listen to your gut instincts here. If something seems amiss, it probably is. Wedding planner red flags to look out for. They don't have a business card. They don't have an actual business location. They use a free email service. They ask for a hefty deposit, more than 50% of the total cost. They don't return your calls or emails promptly. Keep in mind that you should be paying vendors directly, not writing blank checks to the wedding planner or giving the planner all the money to spend. That's how most scams happen. Also, be sure to read through the wedding planner's contract with a fine-tooth comb and make sure you understand exactly what you're signing. Shady venues and vendors. Another scam that's ruined weddings is the shady venue that accepts your money in advance and then shuts down or cancels your wedding. One of the worst cases we've come across occurred in Kentucky, where Nicole Thompson operated Gabriella Farm and offered couples all-inclusive weddings in a rustic barn setting for between $3,000 and $10,000. But according to a lawsuit filed by Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear, Thompson conned at least 7 couples by canceling their weddings or providing subpar events without the promised vendors and services. Thompson went so far as to cancel 3 couples' weddings just weeks before they were scheduled, according to the 2018 complaint. She told them that the farm had been sold, but the farm hadn't been sold and the couples never received the refunds Thompson had promised them, according to court records. Even worse, she threatened to sue couples for defamation if they posted negative reviews of her online. Most wedding vendor scams are similar in nature. You pay for something in advance, flowers, photographs, a cake, a DJ, but on the wedding day, the vendor is a no-show or someone else shows up in their place. Another common twist is for the photographer to show up and take pictures but refuse to release photographs afterward unless you pay more money. Avoiding vendor and venue scams. As with your wedding planner, make sure you do your homework. Check out the vendors and venue in advance and read up on all the reviews. Talk to other clients about their experiences. Also, check with the Better Business Bureau to see if any complaints have been filed. The Better Business Bureau also recommends finding out how many people are currently using the service and how long it's been in business. This can give you a better idea of how reputable the company is. Also, find out if they guarantee their service and get everything in writing. The Better Business Bureau offers these other tips. Double-check prices and avoid vendors with high-pressure sales tactics. Transportation services can have rigid cancellation policies. Find out in advance what happens if you need their service longer or shorter than expected on your wedding night. Go and listen to musicians and DJs at another event before hiring them. Ensure the folks you hear are the same ones who will be performing and make sure the contract spells out exactly how long they'll be playing and what, if any, costs would be involved if the event were extended. Find out how and when your photographer and or videographer will deliver your pictures and in what format they'll provide them. Also, find out whether others in your wedding party or family can purchase photos. Flowers can change depending on availability. Ask your florist how they'll handle any last-minute substitutions or charges. Also, spell out in your contract the minimum size or stems you expect in each flower arrangement. Get everything in writing, product, dates, prices, and cancellation policies. Follow up with your vendors a week or two before your wedding to make sure everything is on track and there are no last-minute surprises. Don't pay up front, never pay by cash, and avoid paying by checks. Checks provide strangers with a lot of personal information, including your address, bank account, and routing number. Instead, use credit cards whenever possible because they provide the most protection if things go awry. If you decide you do want to pay by check, open a separate bank account specifically for the wedding. This will also help you keep track of expenses and payments. As with the dress, watch out for deals that sound too good to be true, because they probably are. You might also consider purchasing wedding insurance. Most major insurers, such as Travelers and Progressive, offer it, and it can cover a broad range of risks, from the absentee photographer to lost deposits to an unforeseen cancellation or postponement of your big day. Also, keep a close eye on your credit card statements in the days and months after your wedding, and even run a credit report. If you notice any questionable charges or accounts, contact your credit card companies immediately. Thwarting thieves. If you're like most people, you'll be tempted to post a lot about your wedding on social media. Even if you don't, your relatives and guests might do it for you by tagging you and your spouse in photos all over Facebook and Instagram. Unfortunately, this is a very bad idea. It's just like posting that you're on vacation and can tip off would-be thieves that you're not home. In fact, that's exactly how a burglary ring in Wichita, Kansas got their leads. They knew of two homes that were empty because of wedding postings they'd seen on Facebook and Twitter, according to the local news. Posting wedding details publicly can also alert thieves to crash your wedding. Gift grabbing is a common and devastating scam. Choose a safe place at the reception for your gift table and consider asking someone you trust to man the station. Also, realize that big, conspicuous gift holders are much harder to make off with than small ones. Social media safety. Protecting your social media accounts is one way to lower your risk, but many brides and grooms forget about those special wedding sites, blogs, and gift registries where they've listed so many important details. Sharing your name, maiden name, wedding date, and other personal details doesn't just make you vulnerable now. It could also create an identity theft nightmare for you in the future. To stay safe, password protect everything you put on the internet. Set all your accounts to private, and if the site doesn't allow you to password protect it, then don't use it. Also, don't use your location settings on apps unless it's completely necessary. Be mindful of the photos you post. That loving engagement photo of you and your fiancé might make your heart pitter-patter, but the rock on your finger could also tempt would-be thieves. At the end of the day, if you're able, find someone to house-sit for you during your wedding and honeymoon. That's the ultimate way to put your mind at ease. Changing your name. You also want to take some precautions if you're changing your name, because it can also raise your risk of identity theft. When you change your name, you'll be getting a slew of sensitive mail, including a new Social Security card, a new driver's license, new credit and debit cards, and insurance documents. To lessen your risk, keep an eye out for important documents in the mail. If you're expecting something important, such as your new credit card, and it doesn't arrive, make some calls and, if need be, cancel the card. You might even want to put a hold on your mail at the U.S. Post Office and pick it up in person. There is no charge to put your mail on hold. You can learn more about the USPS Hold Mail Service by visiting the Postal Service's website. Finally, after you've received all your new cards, checks, and other new documents in the mail, it's time to pull out the shredder. Destroying old documents, credit cards, and checks is the best way to deter a con artist from stealing your information and your identity. That concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at SunSounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then, under Programming Links, left click on On Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to SunSounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.